This happened on Halloween of last year. Me and a couple of buddies were out getting candy. Our neighborhood isn't exactly the safest, but it isn't the worst either. About 90 minutes into trick-or-treating, we see a house with a sign that says "Go to the van for your candy," which had an arrow pointing down to a creepy-looking black van. This house was at the end of the street, so if things did go south, it would be easy to get away fast if necessary. We go to the van, and we see a man sitting in the driver's seat. He tells us,
"Your candy is in the back here. Open up the door and come on in."
I know when something is up, and my alarm bells were punching my brain at this point. We all give each other a confused look. Then we ask the man, "Why isn't the door already open? And why aren't you out here? Couldn't you have done the same thing with a take one note or something?" He just repeats himself, telling us to get into the back of his van for our candy. We say no, and continue on with our trick-or-treating. About 20 minutes later, we're about 2 blocks away. We notice a van about halfway down the street behind us. The same black van from before. I tell the others and we agree to haul ass back to my friend's house. Once the van notices us running away, it takes off in the other direction. When we got to our friend's house, we frantically tell our parents about what happened. They called the cops, but as far as I know, they never found the van. We agreed not to trick-or-treat this year, and decided to just hang out instead. I still wonder what would have happened if we had been stupid enough to enter that van.
Number 2.
I used to own a small Halloween-themed shop that was located downtown in a fairly small city. And unlike many businesses in town after Walmart's arrival, my store never really suffered when it came to customers. Of course, it was only open for the month of October. I sold a lot of unique things you might find at other novelty stores in bigger cities, but for cheaper prices. I really didn't do it for profit as much as I did to celebrate the spooky Halloween spirit. I also loved to celebrate that spirit by doing the best to scare the crap out of people every Halloween. On one particular Halloween, my chosen victim was my buddy Alex. He was a pretty relaxed and calm guy for most of the time, so he was the perfect person for the plan I had in mind. First, you should know that I always began packing up my store on Halloween, fairly early in the morning, as it was unlikely to get customers on the holiday itself. I told Alex that I had much heavier merchandise that year and could use his help moving it all out. Not knowing what he was getting into, he accepted, and I told him to meet me at the shop around 10 p.m. sharp. As I said, Alex was a very relaxed and calm guy for most of the time. Well, unfortunately for him, he had once told me about his irrational fear of clowns and how he couldn't function around them. So naturally, my plan involved dressing up in a clown costume. When he would arrive at the shop, I would stand perfectly still like a statue. Once he realized he couldn't find me, he would then call me, most likely. But when my phone rang, it would be in the pocket of an apparent clown statue, and when he came over to investigate, I would give him my best scare. Pretty simple plan, right? Everything was set in motion. I dressed up and stood near the back of the store, obscured by some boxes and other decorations, and waited for his arrival. A little after 10, Alex entered. It was very dark, as I made the last-minute decision to cut out the lights before he arrived. He called my name a few times, but of course I didn't respond. I heard him walking around a bit, looking around the shop for me. I could barely hold back my laughter. But after more shuffling, I heard Alex speak in a defensive tone. "Not funny, dude." I looked around, but there was definitely no way he could see me right now, even if I had twitched or anything. I continued to play dumb. "Come on, man," he repeated again, sounding angrier this time. "That's not funny." Confused, I quietly adjusted a nearby stack of boxes so I could peer through the crack towards his voice. I couldn't make out his shape very well, but I knew for sure he was not looking in my direction. Suddenly my phone rang. I heard Alex turn towards the sound instantly. I froze, giddy with excitement that the plan might be working. but as he approached, I realized he wasn't holding his phone, and a wave of disappointment fell over me as I discovered my prank had been ruined by another caller. "All right, fine, you got me," I announced shortly after the phone stopped ringing, taking off my mask and stepping out into the open. But Alex's face didn't look relieved. His face twisted in such horror in a way that I had never seen before. He began yelling and spouting panicked words, and I spent the next few minutes trying to get him to calm down. He explained to me that when he entered the store, a man in a clown costume was staring at him and then began slowly walking towards him. But when my phone rang, the man had dashed right out of the store. Alex had no idea that I was actually hiding in the back of the store the whole time. I don't want to think about what could have happened if Alex had showed up late that night, or if my other friend had never called during the prank.
Number 3.
I'm a police officer. A situation that stands out the most would have to be Halloween of 2001. This particular experience nearly made me take a leave due to the weirdness. So don't say I didn't warn you. It starts off on a regular Halloween patrol. My regular partner was sick, but somehow still managed to attend a party. So I was stuck with a crotchety racist bastard who I didn't like. After about an hour, he says something like, "Hey, Spook, what's going on over there?" After a brief and angry discourse on nomenclature, we stopped to see what looked like an impromptu costume orgy past a thicket on the side of the road. This was normal for Halloween, and was more often than not middle-aged partygoers. The two men were dressed like Mickey Mouse, and the woman was hard to see, but appeared to be dressed as a deer. Normally when I see the old random hump, I let them have the privacy to finish, and then chase them off or arrest them depending on location. This time was disconcerting though. They weren't holding the woman down, but from what I could see she was unresponsive. So we strolled up and tapped on the tree behind them. They didn't stop canoodling, but what we saw made us jump back, and I'm ashamed to admit, I threw up on the spot. This is the part where I say I saw what was the single most awful thing I, and I'm assuming racist asshole as well, have ever seen. It wasn't a deer costume. It was a half-butchered doe with its intestines strewn about. They were taking turns fucking it, and all they were wearing was Mickey Mouse masks. That was really hard to write because the image is still fresh in my brain, even after all these years. This was just so inhumanly awful that I can't describe it. I might tear up. I'm not kidding. Anyway, we stare completely frozen for about a minute until racist asshole takes out his gun and starts yelling at them. These guys don't pay any attention to us and just keep humping away, covered from the waist down in blood and what appeared to be some solid matter. Finally, my brain kicks in and I tell racist asshole to lower his gun, and we both step forward and detain the two men. We call it all in, and we take the two men back to the station. They don't say a damn word the whole way back, but one of them kept chuckling. They tested positive for meth, big fucking surprise. And they both were very incoherent, even after they came down. I didn't look too much into it, but they apparently were both run-of-the-mill laborers who had gone missing months prior. So that has to be one of the more gruesome things I've ever seen. One of the most visually disturbing anyway. So yeah, happy Halloween.
So, I was very young when this happened. So young, in fact, that I don't remember a whole lot. Only bits and pieces. I'd say that I was 5 or 6 years old. My parents filled in the gaps for me. So I'm going to tell the whole version of the story, both my parts and theirs. We were living in an old farmhouse at the time. My parents were poor, so they rented from a landlord that owned a few small properties in the area. My dad worked in the steel mill on the midnight shift, so he worked some odd hours. This is relevant, because it might be the only reason that we're still alive, and that I'm able to write this story today.
He's going to rape me. Help me.
We jolted out of bed and were fully awake in an instant. I was sleeping in my bed with my parents that night because I was having some awful night terrors. My dad, who had just switched from midnight shifts to days, jumped out of bed and cautiously made his way down the stairs, grabbing a stoking pick from the fireplace in the living room. He got to the door when he heard it again.
Help! Help! Oh my God, he's coming!
The woman's voice on the other side of the door began sobbing hysterically. We have to help her. Open the door, said my mother. My mum is an inherently good woman who always goes out of her way to help people every single day of her life. She reached out for the deadbolt, but my dad stopped her. He shot her a look and said cautiously through the door, What's going on? Who's after you and where is he? The voice through the door responded,
I just need to get in before he gets here. Please, please.
More sobs. My father turned on the porch light and said, Stay up on the porch with your back against the door. He then opened the deadbolt, but not the chain lock. He slipped a brick that we used as a doorstop through the crack. Take this and use it to defend yourself if you need it. I'll be right on the other side of this door, and if he comes after you, I'll come out and help. In the meantime, I'm calling the police. They'll be here soon. This is when the woman starts to absolutely lose her mind. She began slamming her whole body into the door with a mindless fury.
What the fuck's wrong with you? Let me in this goddamn house right now. What kind of fucking people are you?
My dad forced the door shut and clicked the deadbolt home again. He immediately called the police, and they came within 10 minutes. When they arrived, the woman was simply gone. The doorstop brick was sitting on one of the porch steps. My parents gave a description of the events and the woman as best they could. We tried our best to get some sleep in the following nights, but my mum and dad checked all of the locks and windows several times throughout the night. I don't remember understanding what happened, but I remember thinking that my parents were acting strange and wondering why they didn't help this woman. I thought the man snuck up and got her while we were calling the police. A few days later, we found out that the police had been called for a similar situation at a different house. My dad's brother-in-law worked in law enforcement and told us that that time, the police happened to have a car down the street and arrived without lights and sirens. The officers saw the woman that my parents had described at the front door on top of the porch. When they began walking up to her, a man dashed out of the bushes from the side of the porch. They chased him down pretty quickly and recovered a long kitchen knife from the bushes where he had been hiding. The man and the woman had been working together to try to gain entry to houses. The police surmised that the woman would get people to open their doors and let her in, and then she would let her partner in. God only knows what they would have done once they got inside. Once I heard this story and put it together with my memories of the event, it sent chills down my spine. Imagine what would have happened if my dad had been working the midnight shifts, or if he had just been asleep. He grew up in a very bad neighborhood, Gary, Indiana, so he was always cautious about people around him. Usually, it was mildly irritating, but that time, it may have saved our lives.
Number 2.
This happened on a Norwegian peninsula when I was about 15 years old. It must have been 2006, give or take a year. Regardless, it was Halloween night, and I didn't really have any plans. Too old for trick-or-treating, too young for partying. It was a small peninsula anyway, so there wasn't much going on. I was just sat at home, playing RuneScape on my desktop. This continued until sundown. You could say I was mildly addicted to that game. I usually like to play with the lights off. Bad for your eyes, but I like the mood it set. Anyway, it's around 9 p.m. My mum comes into my room and pats me on the shoulder. Didn't you hear me? I said I'm going out for 20 minutes, she said. I had my noise-cancelling headphones on, so I was oblivious to the fact that she'd been shouting to me. She heads downstairs, and I hear the door slam. I put my headphones back on, and sink back into my own little pixelated world. As such, I can't really tell you how much time passed when this happened. When you looked out of my bedroom door, which at the time was wide open, you could see down into the long corridor leading to my mum's room opposite. Since all of the lights were off, I could only really make out the outlines of all the objects, and that was only after my eyes adjusted after looking at the bright computer screen. Until then, it was like looking into a dark void of total blackness. You know when one of your senses has picked up on something that you're not totally conscious of yet, and you feel a little uneasy? Well, that happened to me while I was playing. It felt like someone else was around me, like that I'm being watched sensation. I figure my mum came back from wherever she went, and that I just hadn't heard her due to my headphones. But if that was the case, why hadn't she turned the lights on? I looked down into the dark corridor. At the far end, something's glowing. It's large and fluorescent green. It's spherical. Looks like a floating orb of some kind. I freak out and whip off my headphones. After looking at it for a moment, it becomes clear that this isn't an orb at all, or anything supernatural like that. There's two black holes where eyes should be, and a dark slit for a mouth. It's a glow-in-the-dark mask, and it's not floating. Someone's wearing it. Whoever it is facing me. I can't make out the rest of their body, but the head is definitely looking in my direction, and is slowly inching closer. It's some sort of distorted, expressionless face. It's hard to describe, but the image of it is burned deep into my memory. Realizing he's been spotted, the guy freezes. We just stare at each other for what felt like the longest time. He raises a finger up to the lips of his mask. "Shh, I'm just a trick-or-treater." It's a thick, manly voice, one I didn't recognize. In a state of shock, and not really knowing how to react, I just sit there, keeping my eyes on him. "So, trick or treat?" I mumble out, "Neither. Please go now." But he doesn't go. The glowing face starts moving towards me. Desperate to keep him out of my bedroom, I leap up and slam my door closed, locking it and pressing the full weight of my body against it. The guy is just outside my door. I can hear his deep breaths on the other side. He tries the door handle. It rattles. More heavy breaths. He tries the handle again. Then, I can hear quick footsteps moving down the stairs, and what I think is my front door opening and closing. Still in shock, I just sit in my barricaded room, sobbing to myself until my mum finally returns. It felt like forever since I'd last seen her. She asked me what was wrong, why I was crying, and why there was a large Hessian sack left in the corridor. I told her what had just happened. She called the police for me immediately. I like to think that this was just a crazy person, and that they didn't really have any intention of harming me. Just some sort of messed up Halloween prank. Whatever the case, it was a surreal experience, and the image of that floating, talking face has haunted me for the longest time. The most unnerving part about this to me, though, is the fact that the peninsula really was very small. For me to see a face around town that I didn't recognize was very rare. More than likely, someone in my family knew who this person was. Hell, I probably knew who it was. I hate to think that after that event, I may very well have interacted with that person. The thought that they specifically targeted me out of everyone in the area made me extremely uncomfortable. I never felt safe there after that. That's part of the reason I moved away when I was 18. It was late October in Sofia, Bulgaria. That year, Halloween fell on a Saturday, and my friend Minchko was throwing a massive shindig at his parents' apartment. Now, this guy was rich by Bulgarian standards, born into money. So when I say apartment, don't think of a typical, grotty Sofian flat. Think more along the lines of one of those unrealistically huge apartments from an American sitcom. His parents had gone away for the weekend, to either Spain or Italy, or somewhere else suitably warm, and as such, things were set to go wild. When the night finally rolled around, I dressed up in my zombie costume and set out to meet some friends. Minchko's invitation said that the party started at 8, so naturally, me and my group of chums didn't plan to arrive until 10. Gotta be fashionable. When we did arrive, most of the guests were already pretty drunk. The vodka was flowing freely, put it like that. They had a massive punch bowl, which was probably only 10% juice, knowing Minchko. Some of us had a few midterm exams coming up, so we didn't want to go too wild. We just had a few beers, while everyone else pigged out on punch. Other than the people on my course, there was one other guy who wasn't really drinking that night. Some dude in a wolfman mask who was just hanging around the punch bowl. He didn't seem to know anybody at the party and was keeping to himself. Looked a little awkward, to be honest. The friendly half of me wanted to introduce myself, invite him to hang out with me and my friends. My socially anxious other half, however, decided against that. The night goes on, and one of the partiers starts to complain about having stomach pain. I figure he's overdone it. Some guys really can't handle their alcohol. He makes his way to the bathroom and starts vomiting. Not long afterwards, another guest starts complaining about the same problem. And then another. And another. Eventually, a dozen or so people are grabbing their stomachs in pain. Things start to seem serious, with some people even vomiting on the living room floor. A little worried, someone calls for medical assistance. At the hospital, things turned out not to be an extreme instance of alcohol poisoning. Instead, we found out that the punch bowl contained a secret ingredient that someone had slipped in. It had been laced with rat poison. Thankfully, the dosage wasn't high enough to kill anyone immediately, but without treatment, the amount could have been fatal within a few hours. At a party full of drunk people, it was totally possible that no one would have been sober enough to react appropriately and call an ambulance. Somebody also could have easily passed out, not realizing that they'd been poisoned. Thankfully, though many were hospitalized, nobody ended up with any prolonged health issues. When we were questioned about what we all knew, the guy in the wolf mask came into my mind. He had been hanging around the punch bowl. I mentioned it to the police, and said that one of the other guests must have known who he was. Talking to my friends about it afterwards, though, it seemed like nobody did know who he was. Everybody assumed that he was a friend of somebody else's, and didn't bother to question his attendance. As far as anybody could remember, nobody talked to him, nobody saw him without his mask on, and nobody even remembered who he turned up with, or even when he arrived at all. He had just slipped in unnoticed. To begin with, the police investigation turned up very little. It seemed as though it was just a one-off incident, some guy wanting to cause harm to a lot of people at once. But people like that rarely try this sort of thing only once. Almost 1 year later to the day, on the next Halloween weekend, the exact same thing happened at a party in a different part of town. This time, the amount of poison used was increased. 3 people almost lost their lives that night, and 10 were hospitalized. This time, however, the perpetrator was tackled by another partygoer who realized what he was up to. Under questioning, the police realized that the guy in the wolf mask was obviously a little disturbed in the head. He cited an event known as the Jonestown Massacre as his inspiration behind his actions. Looking into it, it turns out it was an event in the late 70s, where over 300 members of a cult died after being forced to drink from a poisoned punch bowl. This unstable nutjob wanted to pay homage to the largest mass suicide in history. For the first time in my life, I was damn thankful that I had exams coming up. I'm known for going a little bit wild at parties, and for trying to drink everyone under the table. Who's to say I wouldn't have chugged more poison punch than my body could have handled? Whenever Minchko hosts a Halloween party now, he always checks under everyone's mask at the door, just to make sure they're on the guest list.